Thank you, Joe. Good afternoon, everyone, and good afternoon to everyone on the World Wide Web. I'd like to start today by asking a question. Is it important to honor God? I know we live in a world that doesn't seem a normal part of our everyday life to honor anyone, especially God. And to illustrate this, I'd like you all to turn to 1 Samuel 2. Well, we'll read of a story about Eli, a priest of God, and his two sons. 1 Samuel 2, and we'll begin in verse 12. We'll just get a little background and add a header to this paragraph. It says, "The wicked sons of Eli." And it says in verse 12 of 1 Samuel 2, "Now the sons of Eli were corrupt, and they did not know the Eternal." So they had no relationship with God. And I guess you'd say these two sons of Eli had no respect for God or his ways or the people they were supposed to serve. They were just two scoundrels, weren't they? If you could read more about that in the next couple of verses, but I'd like to focus on verse 29 and 30. Let's go to verse 29 of 1 Samuel 2, where it says, "Why do you kick at the sacrifice and my offerings which I have commanded in my dwelling place?" Now, this is a prophecy to Eli, from which it says earlier a man of God approached him and was prophesying to him. "And honor your sons more than me, to make yourself fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people." Now, verse 30, "Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your fathers would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, for far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed," or in some translations say, despised. So it's important to God that we honor him in our behavior. And it was obvious that Eli was turning a blind eye to his son's behavior. They were supposed to serve God and his people, and they were doing just the opposite. Now, in general, the world has forgotten God, you know, and that's more apparent every day. They dishonor God with their behavior. God has been replaced in some places by the state, because we don't need anything from God because the state will provide. Now, Paul says in Romans 1, if you'd all turn over there, where he talks about the present world that we live in, and the world at that time also. Romans 1 and verse 21, and I'll read it from the New American Standard Bible, so it might be a little different. Verse 21, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him," or it might say in your Bible, glorify him, which is the same Greek word, can be translated honor or glorify. "Glorify him or honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened." So the result of their lack of honor for God, respect for God, love for God, their hearts, there's consequences. God doesn't give those people who dishonor him his spirit, and consequently, their hearts are darkened. Now, how do we honor God? Now, we've seen examples here of people dishonoring God. How do we honor God? And Christ explains how in Mark 7. Let's turn to Mark 7, where Christ addresses this issue of honor towards God. Mark 7, and we'll begin in verse 6. Now, he was having a dispute with the hypocrites of that time, the Pharisees, and he was going to give them a little lecture. And he answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" So it's not real. It's not real. It's not from the heart. Now verse 7. "And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." And now, as you can see, we're surrounded by the commandments or traditions of men in this time of the year. It's not scriptural, is it? Or God's way. Now verse 8, "For laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the traditions of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do." So that was just the tip of the iceberg of all the made up laws and rules and regulations and false worship that they instituted, and we can see it today in mainstream Christianity. Now verse 9, "He said to them, 'All too well you reject the commandments of God that you may keep your traditions.'" So it's important to keep God's commandments. And in doing so, we honor God. You know, Christ has told them or corrected them. He doesn't want lip service. He wants true worship. He wants sincerity and truth, not made up rules and regulations or worship services or holidays. Now, we honor God in many ways, through his law and his statutes. And let's explore a few of those ways, how we honor God. Let's turn to Proverbs 3. Now we saw how people dishonor God. Man-made rules and regulations. You see how God wants to be worshiped. Proverbs 3 and verse 9 states, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase." So one of the ways we honor God is through tithing and first and second tithe. So we first, we contribute to the needs of the work in the church, which is commanded in the end time that we would preach the gospel message to all the world, and it's made possible through your tithes and offerings. And secondly, second tithe we save so that we can observe the feast. So this is how we honor God. It's honoring God in action. It's not with lip service like the Pharisees, but in action. Now look at another way we honor God. Let's go to Isaiah. Let's turn to Isaiah 58. Another way that we can honor God in action. Verse 13 of Isaiah 58 says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, or if you observe the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, so it's not our will, but God's will is to be done today, and today is a holy day, and your presence here is a small part of how we honor God. Going on in verse 13, and call the Sabbath a delight, a holy day of the Lord, honorable, and you shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. So how do we honor God? By attending services and honoring him on his Sabbath day, keeping it the way, not adding to, like the Pharisees did, but keeping it as prescribed here in Isaiah and by the example of Christ, who we know in Matthew 12:8 says he is the Lord of the Sabbath. So it's a way to honor God. Honor God in action, not with just words. Keep his Sabbath. Now let's get back to Mark 7 and see what God and Christ focus on how we're to honor him. Let's go back to Mark 7. And we'll look into what Christ thinks is important, way to honor him. Mark 7, and let's pick it up in verse 10, where Christ says, for Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who cares, father or mother, let him be, or he who curses, according to Moses' law, father or mother, let him be put to death. So here's something that Christ thinks is very important. Now verse 11, but you say, if a man says to his father and mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is, a gift from God. So looking into that, what does that mean? It was money set aside by the son, and he would set it aside and dedicate that to God, but not necessarily give it to the temple. It wasn't commanded that he give it to the temple. And he could use it for himself, for his own needs. But legally, the parents could not access that money, or he didn't have to use that money to help them when they had a need. So he would just say, the Pharisee would just say, well, I've dedicated this money to God, and I'm sorry, I cannot help you. Now going on in verse 12, it says, then you no longer let him do anything for his father and mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and money, many such things you do. So they used it to circumvent God's law and the fifth commandment, didn't they? They weren't interested in really doing God's will or serving God from the heart. You know, it's interesting. The example Christ uses to illustrate how we should honor him is the fifth commandment, honoring our father and mother. And I believe it's because family is the basis or the foundation of a functioning society. And God is building a family here today, his church, the body of Christ, his future sons and daughters. So first we learn from the physical family how to be a part of God's spiritual family. And God uses many such things to show us how to observe his ways. Now, because many have rejected God's way and only pay lip service to him and to his to our families sometimes, or to God, what is the result? The family is in crisis. Some fathers and mothers seem to be unworthy of honor. And I know that's difficult for some, but God's commandment still stands, doesn't it? He didn't have exceptions in the fifth commandment. And he's trying to teach us something on honoring our parents and honoring our father and mother and our heavenly father. This is where we start. And brethren, we must do all we can to have a proper relationship with our parents, to honor them the best we can as God has commanded. Now let's turn to Ephesians 6, where Paul goes over this very subject in more detail. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So we start, Paul starts with the children. And then verse 2, it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And in verse 4 it says, and you, fathers or parents, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the eternal. So Paul is starting with the family structure and the importance of family and how it is supposed to operate in a godly fashion. Parents must be careful not to create a state of parental resentment. So your children, I have three children, and they have three different personalities. So each one I have to deal with a little differently. And you as parents have probably found that out yourself. You can't treat all of them the same and not try to push them too far. Parents must not make unreasonable demands, but children must obey their parents as it relates to God and his law. So God is first. And we see in verse 1, children must listen and respect parents, honoring God and parents. This is where it begins. How do we get to the point where we know how to honor God? It starts first in the family. And he says in verse 2 and 3 that honoring God and parents brings blessings. And what does honoring mean? According to Scripture, it means to love, to show reverence, obey, and to assist in all things. Honor your father and mother, and by doing so, God says, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. And quite possibly, if you endure to the end, you will live forever. This is where it begins. This is how we learn to obey God and honor him, is through the family. It makes it a lot easier, of course, if you have parents that They're honoring God in their life, and you just follow their example. Honoring parents brings blessings not only to the family, but to the community of Christian families have a responsibility to contribute to their community. So it brings blessings not only to the family, but as to a community at large. And it also contributes to a positive atmosphere in church and to the church in general. If we honor God and parents, blessings will come to us, and most assuredly in God's kingdom. It's all a cycle of good. You know, the world is spiraling down to the abyss, and part of it is because of the disintegration of the family. And God knows this, and that's why he started the fifth commandment, was to honor parents, so that all the other laws directed towards loving mankind, would be fulfilled. You have to start with the family. It makes it a lot easier. We as God's people need to honor God as our Father and honor him from the heart. So it's not lip service like the Pharisees. And we know that God deserves our honor and glory. And let's read about that in Revelation 4, where that's illustrated to us that God deserves honor. Revelation 4. In verse 9, but we'll start at the last part of verse 8, where it says, "Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." So this is the angelic realm at God's throne, praising God. "Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down from before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created.'" So the example is set for us, how we are to worship God, and in our prayer life, honor God. Because he, as it says here, he is worthy. He is worthy of all the praise and honor we could give him. Now I think there's a scripture that sums it all up that I want to convey to you here today, and that's in 1 Peter 2. First Peter 2, verse 17, where it says, where Peter is explaining to everyone how we should behave, "and honor all people," it says in verse 17, "love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." So notice in 1 Peter, Peter sums up our obligation to love, honor, and respect God and other Christians and other people we come in contact with. Now first, he's showing us to show honor and valuing everyone, and especially, as we've learned today, parents. Secondly, he's showing us in this verse, honor and love the brotherhood. So that's special honor is due to the family of believers. And the third point that we should get from this verse is Fear God. He shows mercy to those who honor and obey him. But those who disrespect him will be cut off. So that's why we should fear God and respect him. And fourth thing that Peter is trying to get across to us in this verse is honor the king. And of course, he was probably referring to the emperor at that time, or worldly leaders that they were under, Christians had to live under. But for us today, we need to honor those who lead us. You know, and there's not much, as we can see in the political atmosphere that we have right now, there's not much honor, is there? But brethren, for us, especially the leadership in the church, we're to show honor to. But first and always, honor God, the King of Kings.